There was a Sunday school teacher who shares, after telling a class of her 4 to 7-year-olds the Adam and Eve story, I began to quiz them. What was Eve's punishment for disobeying God? I asked. A bright-eyed girl raised her hand. She had to crawl on her belly and eat dust the rest of her life. It only feels that way sometimes. But the truth that you and I can celebrate is, as much as sin has its consequences and struggles and trials for us, that the truth that we can celebrate is that we can truly be alive in Christ. And the call for us in each one of our lives is more and more to walk away from the sin that is a part of us and to walk more fully in the life that Christ uniquely gives. In fact, that's what Paul shares with us in Colossians today, is that God makes us alive with Jesus Christ. You know, that's the intention that God had for us from the very beginning, is that we would be alive with him, have a life that is full of his grace and his peace and his joy in ways that are transforming for you and for me and for all of humanity. In fact, if you look at your second lesson today in Colossians, that's what Paul shares about. He says, and when you were dead in your trespasses, I want to use the word sins instead because I think that really focuses in on what we're talking about. And when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all of our sins. Paul goes on to share that the Lord erased the written code, or the Mosaic law, along with its regulations, and nailed it to the cross. And so we've talked a lot already. I've shared with you many, many times about the reality that the law that the people of Israel lived under, there were 613 laws that they had to fulfill in order to fulfill the righteousness of God before their feet even hit the floor in the morning. What a rough way to start up. You think you're depressed at the beginning of a day. That's depression. And so, you know, what we read is that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that the Mosaic law, all of those 613 laws as well that grew over time because of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were nailed to the cross. Which means very simply that through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, they were taken care of. That it would no longer be necessary for you and I to fulfill that legalistic law, which, by the way, the Israelites were never, ever able to fulfill anyways. The law communicated to us the righteousness of God, what that looked like, and that whenever the people of Israel broke one of those laws, they needed to shed blood in order for the forgiveness of sins. You know, it says in the scripture, there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so that's why they did that. And when the cross of Christ came, when Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, that was once and for all taken care of. What did John say? Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That was it. And so when Jesus died on the cross as the Lamb of God, as the final sacrifice for our sins, the Mosaic law was nailed to the cross once and for all, and it was over. No more of that. Our salvation, our righteousness through Jesus Christ alone from then all out. Thanks be to God. That's what I say. You don't have to come and see a sheep pen with a bunch of lambs and goats and other things that I need to be sacrificing at different times during the week to be right with God or you, but rather salvation through Christ and righteousness through him. It also says in Colossians that at the cross, he disarmed powers and authorities, triumphing over them at the cross of Christ. In fact, it also says in the scripture that he crushed the head of the serpent. And the word serpent there specifically means the devil. And so at the cross of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all defeated every demonic force, every evil power, and most importantly, Satan himself at the cross of Christ. He crushed the head of the serpent and triumphed over them. And so we look at this cross every week. And I want to invite you during communion. Some of you will do this, some of you won't. But don't be embarrassed because I invited you as the priest here to come up and do this. come up and touch this cross. Put your hand on it. Look at it. Imagine what it might have been like to look at Jesus' body on that cross and his blood being shed for you. That beautiful, wonderful, miraculous, atoning sacrifice for you and me. The shed blood of Jesus that to this day forgives our sins, that miraculously heals people's lives, that is once and for all the hope of all humanity and the reconciliation that God has ordained from the beginning of time. Thanks be to God. Come and touch this cross. Feel this cross. Look at this cross. And may it bring you and I closer to the person of Jesus Christ. Have you ever been up late at night and maybe you watched a movie you shouldn't have watched? You know, one of those scary movies with Freddy or Jason in it? You said, you saw it and you said, no, I really shouldn't watch this movie, but you lost the temptation, I'll just put it that way, right? And you watched the movie anyways, and you were scared out of your wits, and, you know, you were up at 2 or 3 in the morning thinking about, was that Freddy or Jason at my door? Are they coming to get me? That's why with our girls, we have to go in and check them out and say, hey, you really shouldn't be watching that, especially right now, because I don't want to be up with you at 2 or 3 in the morning. I want to sleep tonight, and I want to hear the screams and tears about how this thing's coming after me or that thing's coming after me. Have you ever walked into a place and you just felt a darkness there? Couldn't put your finger on it, couldn't so much see anything, but you just felt like something was wrong. Maybe even felt like an evil. By the way, everybody's shaking their heads yes, so all of us have had these experiences as human beings. And what I want to let you know is that as real as that fear can be, as real as that sense of evil is at times, and it is a real presence in terms of the evil one or the demonic demons or whatever it might be, I want you to remember this. At the cross of Christ, they were crushed. That Jesus' light and love and power is far greater than any demonic presence or evil or force that you may have felt in your life up to this point. That as great as your fear might be about what tomorrow may hold, as much as you might have a hard time sleeping with all the lights off and you still have a light on at night because you're afraid, I want you to know that first of all, you're not alone. But I also want you to know as you look at that cross, I want you to remember that your Lord Jesus Christ crushed the head of the serpent. And in that moment, triumphed over all demonic forces, all evil in the world. There is nothing and no one that can come against you that is greater than the person of Jesus Christ. You need to receive that. You need to begin to embrace that. You need to begin to walk in that, in the authority that God has given us, especially with the darkness that is upon the land in this moment. God is inviting his children of light, his body, the head that we're supposed to cling to. Again, what Paul was talking about, to cling to the head. Not to human regulations, not to don't eat this and don't eat that, not to all of these feasts and new moons and all this kind of stuff, these superstitions, but cling to the head. Cling to the real power source. Cling to the Lord and King of the universe from whence your deliverance has come. And celebrate that and embrace that and walk in that. That you and I might truly experience and have and walk in the freedom and aliveness that is uniquely ours in the person of Jesus Christ. See, it's not enough for you and I to read about him. It's not enough for you and I to study about him. It's not enough for you and I to listen to someone talk about him and appreciate their experience of Jesus that they have and the presence of the Holy Spirit that's in their life. Guess what? God's inviting that personally for you. God wants you to have that experience. God wants you to have that power. God wants you to know what it is like to walk in His light and to have a peace in your bedroom at night that passes understanding, and to no longer be afraid of the darkness, but overcome that evil with the goodness of God. You can smile. You can smile. He's that good. He's that awesome. He's that powerful. So what can freedom in Jesus look like? Well, I want to share with you a story of a friend of mine from Cleveland. I'm not going to share with you his name, but I'm going to share with you some true events in his life that I and Jan and other people up there at that time shared with him. I came to know this person at the last church I was at Advent in 1999. He had a nice job he had been working at for a number of years, great stability, hard worker. He also had a family that he loved, and they loved him. He had a good life, but also he had some struggles. He struggled with addiction. In fact, he had a dual addiction, addiction to alcohol and an addiction to drugs, as well as some other sins that he was struggling with. He struggled with these addictions for many years. And there were a number of us who knew him and tried to speak into his life, tried to encourage him to move in a different way that would be healthier for him and for his family, and tried to encourage him to say, hey, you know what? If you don't move in a new direction and away from these addictions, there is a predictable end to what's going to happen in your story that's happened to so many other lives, and that is these addictions, these areas of sin struggle in your life are going to destroy you. It's what they do. They destroy people's lives. He lost his career. His wife divorced him. He spent a six-figure retirement fund on drugs and alcohol until the last penny was gone. The only thing left to lose was his life. And by the mercy of God, and I believe the prayers of many people who loved him, he bottomed out and lived to tell about it. That's always my prayer for people that are struggling with these things in their lives. You know, I work with them so long. You just need to know this. I'll work with you so long. And then at a certain point, I'm going to start praying that you bottom out. That'll become my prayer. I'll say, God, whatever you got to do with them, they're in your hands. You just do whatever you got to do. I just pray that when they reach the bottom, they'll still be alive so that we can move toward recovery with them, that they have a second chance in life. So thank God God answered that prayer in this situation. And when he finally bottomed out, he reached out for help. That's when you know they've hit bottom, is they're willing to begin to listen. Began to go to AA, NA. We met. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his heart and life to him. He opened himself up to the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he began what was a gradual transformation in his life. He went to meetings, the AA meetings, on a daily basis almost. He went to church on a continual basis. He started to go to Bible studies. And see, he began to move in a new direction in his life. He no longer hung out at the bars. He realized that to get a drink or to start doing drugs again, it could be the end for him, and so he couldn't do that. And so he really began his walk in sobriety and newness of life in Jesus Christ. He was doing all this. He stopped the drugs and alcohol. He got two jobs. Wasn't even making nearly what he was making before, but he got two jobs, and he was doing his best. He began to heal gradually over time. I can share with you today that he is 19 years sober. He sees his kids. In fact, he recently made a trip with one of them out west. I read about it on Facebook. He shares his pain with people and kind of works through his day-to-day struggles, which we all have. And most importantly, he knows that he is loved. He's had a second chance at life, a whole new beginning that he wouldn't trade for anything in the world. The reality is, my friend should have died. I've seen other people in his situation, and when they bottomed, they were dead. It was over. He should have been dead, but he is alive and free in Jesus Christ. How wonderful is that? How great is that? That's something to celebrate. You know, some kids got their father back. Yeah, he was divorced from his wife, but at least they could trade off on the kids and begin to have a rational, sober conversation. You know, the alcoholic and the drug fog dissipated, and the real person came out. And you could actually begin to relate with him and really know him as a new person. How great is that? I love that. I begin to say, this is who you really are. I only knew the alcoholic. I only knew the drug addict. It's nice to meet you for the first time. It's great. It's a great, great meeting. So you see, that is what freedom in Jesus Christ looks like. And you know, there are many people who don't want to follow the Lord because they feel like the Lord is going to cramp their style. They feel like the Lord is going to put them in bondage with, you know what, you need to be honorable before me. You need to be holy before me. You are not supposed to walk in sin. And for some people, that's really going to cramp their style. They want to be free to do whatever they want to do. But the truth is, as you and I come into the freedom that is in Jesus Christ, he is the one that truly sets us free. You don't know what freedom is until you are rooted in your relationship with him and come to him through the cross and have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Forgiven, freed to the depth of your heart, and alive in him. You know what freedom looks like? Or I should say what freedom feels like? You feel free inside. It's kind of hard to explain, but you just feel free. You don't feel in bondage to your sin anymore or that monkey that's been on your back, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or gambling or whatever it might be. That thing is that has had a hold of you and you've tried to get rid of low these many years, but it still has a hold of you. That's why you feel in bondage, because you are. We are. And as we begin to walk in freedom, we begin to feel free. There's a joy. You can smile. It's sincere from the depth of your heart. There is a love and there is a connection with Jesus Christ through his cross and through his resurrection that genuinely has set you free in his love. It sets you free in his power. Guess what? You won't care about what people think anymore, because you realize it doesn't matter what they think anymore. They've been thinking stuff about you already that would surprise you. Let me just tell you that. I can't tell you about the stuff I hear in my office. It's confidential. But you'd be surprised about what they're thinking about you already. Don't worry about what they're thinking. Who cares? I don't care. I really don't care. Don't worry about what I think about you. The most important thing is, what is the Lord thinking about you? And are you walking in his way? Are you shackled by addiction today? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, thank God. But I'm going to ask you in your heart, are you shackled by an addiction? Is there something or someone that has a hold of you and you know it's not right? And you've known this for a while. I mean, you know, let's just come clean. You're going to come clean with the Lord today in a real way. Are you shackled by drugs? Are you shackled by alcohol? Again, gambling, sex, whatever it might be, maybe anger. Are you shackled by a certain sin in your life that you've struggled with for a long time? Again, anger, wrath, whatever it might be, gossip. Are there people in your life that are kind of like a shackle for you? We won't mention any names. But, you know, what would it look like for you to begin to be free from them? You know, whatever you are shackled by today, the good news is that at the cross of Jesus Christ, he has triumphed over everything and everyone. There is no one that he has had victory over. Everybody, completely and totally. Your alcoholism, your drug addiction, your sex addiction, your gambling addiction, that person, the sin that you're shackled by, he died on the cross for that sin, and it's broken in your life. It is broken. You just have to walk into it. You just have to receive the freedom. All right, I'm beginning to get there. I think there's some lights going on. Are you bound by a Christ plus faith? Is there a way in which you're trying to add to your salvation through your own efforts? give up. Just give up. Let go and let God. Isn't the lessons of our human life, after all of our decades of trying to get it right and trying to do it on our own and pull us up by our own bootstraps, isn't the lesson in some of these areas that you can't do it? You just don't have the power. You're not going to do it. It's impossible to you. But I can do all things through Christ and Him who strengthens me. It is through the cross you are set free. And you and I need to kneel before that cross and stay there. It might take 20 days, it might take 30 days of devotion of about a half an hour a day, and pray before that cross and say, Lord Jesus, please set me free from this bondage, this monkey that's on my back, through the power of your cross and your shed blood for me. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? We need to begin to let go and let God. We need to begin to embrace the cross of Jesus Christ and don't let Him go. Look at Him. Gaze upon Him. Allow His blood to flow through your spirit in a very real and transforming way that would truly set you free. Receive His forgiveness in the depth of the darkest places of your life. Receive the freedom He desires to give to you, and receive the life that you'll uniquely find in the person of Jesus Christ. What do you need to let go of today? What area, what person do you need to give to the Lord today? And then embrace His cross. Embrace the freedom that can only be found in Him, the life, the joy, the power that Jesus can only bring to your life.